okay? You should be downloading those examples. And we're going to look at a bunch of them today. We already did basic math, I think. So we've got first math we're going to do. And then we're going to do loops, and then we're going to do some other stuff. Okay, so download, well, why don't you download the first six? I don't know if we'll get that far, but if you download the first six, we'll see how far we get. So you want to download them and unzip them. Okay, you're going to go in under Site Resources, under Programs. And when you get to Programs, it's the first six that I want you to download and unzip. Okay, because we're going to look at those examples. Pardon me?
Or you said we could get Visual Basic.
As in where you can get it in this room or where you can get it for home?
For the top on my computer.
You can get it by going to DreamSpark, or you've got an address under last week that you can click on to download it from Microsoft. The week of from last week. If you're here, it's under CIS. In here, you're under CIS software. And when you get to CIS software, then you can bring it up. But for now, if you haven't downloaded it on your computer, we can please use the one for the class.
Does it take that long?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 5 gigabytes.
So just use ours for now. So you're downloading and unzipping. If you have any problems, let Eric know, and he'll come around and help. But right now what you're doing is downloading the top six.
Is like all the way down here on the URL.
Well, don't. Would you honestly please just open it up here and then do that later? Because if you don't do that, you're not gonna follow along with what I'm gonna do next.
Okay, so when you get it downloaded, the one I'm going to look at, so I'm gonna click on Open Project. Okay, so I open Visual Basic. Question, or?
Just helping.
Okay, no, but why, what?
He's trying to extract.
Okay.
I'm unzipping.
Unzipping,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you're going to click on Open Project here. When you bring up Visual Studio, you're going to click on Open Project. Okay? And then I'm going to go to my F drive and to VB2015, which is where I've stored the ones that I downloaded and unzipped. Okay, so when I downloaded them and unzipped them, I stored them on my F drive in a folder called VB2015, because it is Visual Basic 2015. You can store them any way you want, but that's what I did. So now I'm going in and I want First Math. Okay, so I click on the folder called First Math. And then I click on this one that is the solution. And it has an SLN extension if you have extensions set. But it says Microsoft Visual Solution, I think, over there. Visual Studio Solution. Okay? So you're going to click on the one that is the Microsoft Visual Studio Solution. And again, if you've got extensions set, then you can click on the SLN. So I click on that. Okay. And this is what came up. Well, it's not quite done yet. Okay. So it didn't show me the form. And I need to see the form. If I click on form over here, I will see it. Okay, so I'm gonna click on form math.vb. Come on, you can do it. Okay, so I clicked on that, and it now shows me the form. And I also, if I'm going to be doing work, I would like the toolbox. And so I can click on the toolbox and do that. Well, I don't think I really need the toolbox because we're just looking. But that's the setup that you need if you're going to be making any changes to the form. Okay, if you're making any changes to the form, you need the toolbox so that you can drag over the tools. And again, in making this, there's only three tools that I used. I use the text box, I use label, and I use button. So I use text box, and the name that I give to things that I'm putting in a text box is TXT followed by a name. And the name should start with uppercase if you want to follow convention. And then this one will be LBL, followed by a name. And the buttons are BTN, followed by a name. And again, will other things work? Absolutely. But if you're showing somebody work that you do, it is far better to use the conventions, because then you give the impression you know what you're doing. Okay, and if you call these apples, bananas, peaches, and pears, you definitely give the impression you don't know what you're doing. Okay? So, I have set up three text boxes. two of them, it looks like I'm going to put data into, and then I can do the add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And then I've got some questions down here that we're going to look at as well. And we may well add a few buttons to it. So that's where I am at now. If I want to see the code, I can come over here and just click on one of the buttons, and it brings up the code. Okay, so I'm going to move the text box off for a few minutes, and I'm going to also move this over a little bit so that I have a little more room. Okay, so now I've got a little more room. So I had seven buttons out there. So that, I think there were seven. So I have a routine for all of the buttons. Okay, and the way I create that routine is back on the form. Okay, now notice what I've got up here. I've got form math VB, and then I've got form math VB design. The design will show you the form. The other one shows you the code. So right now I have the code showing. If I want to go back and see the form, I click on the design one and it brings up the form. I go back to see the code, back to see the design. The other way I can get in to see the full code is just click on any one of the buttons and it will take me there as well. Okay, so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 buttons. Okay, so button one is an add, and we talked about this last time, that we have the same problem that we have in JavaScript, and that is that the plus can mean add, and the plus can mean concatenate. Okay. And I want actually an attendance sheet today, so would you start that going around? Okay, so I've got in the add routine. Okay, in the add routine, I converted the two numbers to integer, just like I did in JavaScript. In JavaScript, I would have written parse int. Okay, I would have written parse int. Okay, and here I wrote cint, which means convert to integer. Okay, so I'm doing the same thing. If I were writing this in JavaScript, I would have had parse int there and there. Here I have cint. Because I am working with a box, and a box has a load of properties, I have to, and let's go back and look. If I go back to the form and I click on this box, it brings up the properties of that box, text first. And there are a load of properties. So I can't just talk about making a change to text first, because text first has all of these different properties. So what I have to do is refer to dot text, refer to the text property. Okay, so up here, I set up an answer, and I say, I want to put the result of this calculation, make it the text property of this field. When I add, I want to use the text property, meaning what somebody typed into that box. That's the text property. I want to use the text property of that box. So I'm saying, take the text property in this box, take the text property in that box, and add them together and make the answer the text property of the answer box. Okay, so if I go and I run this, And remember, the green triangle with the word start after it is where I run it. So I run this. And eventually I run it. Come on, you can do it. It should not take this long. Okay, so I'm putting 5 in. And the content is the text property. So I'm saying take the text property that I put in this box. Take the text property that I put in that box. And when I click add, it adds them together and puts the text property in text answer. Okay. This box is called text answer. And if I click on it and look over here, I see that it's called text answer. So if you forget what the name of something is, you can click on it and it will show up over there. Okay, so I've got text first up here. And if I give text first, and take and put in its text box a 5. Okay, so I've put in its text box a 5. And now if I run, it comes up with the 5 there. So I didn't have to enter it as the user because it came up with the 5 in there. Okay, because I set that property to 5, so it came up with the 5. When I run it, the 5 is still there. So that just shows you that setting the text property set what's in that box. Now, would I want to do this? No. Because what I want is for everybody to be able to enter in what numbers they want and it to do the add. And if I set all of them, and I set that one at 5 and the other one at 2, then I can do the add. I don't need to have a computer add 5 and 2. I can do that. So what I want is to have open boxes so that the user gets to enter information in. So the user can go over here and enter in 2 and then add, and they get 7. Okay? But if I want to, I can set the text property, and the text property is what gets used. Okay? But that, as I said, I'm explaining that more so that you understand the importance of the dot text. Okay, so the importance of the dot text is it says, take what is in the text property. And that means I could have put it in ahead of time, or the user could have entered it. But I'm taking what is the text in that box. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then for subtract, it's real easy. And when these extra boxes at the bottom come up, I just click them and make them go away. The next one is subtract. And again, what I did is I clicked on the subtract button. When I clicked on the subtract button, it put in the line that says private and the line that says in sub. Okay? And the private sub line gave the name of the field, which was button subtract, that's the button, underscore click, meaning the click event associated with that button. And then I write in there what I want to do, which is take text first, subtract text second, and store the results in text answer. Okay, so I'm telling it what to do. It makes the subroutine for me, and I tell it what to do. And I don't touch what it does. Okay, when you know more about Visual Basic, if you take a bunch of courses, you get to touch that. But at the beginning, you don't get to touch that line. Okay, it stays there. Okay. And in fact, most of the time, people don't want to touch it. It just stays there. Then I have text button multiply and button divide. And each one of those has a mathematical thing to do. Okay? Okay. So now the next ones I've got. Let me take a picture of that. I added three more buttons to this form. One of them is a question. Okay? So I call that box button question one. That's what I put on it. And I put in the text question one, which means that's the text that's written on top of the button. Okay? So, if I click on this, it takes me to the subroutine for question one. And for the subroutine on question one, I just said, if, I put an if statement in. And I said, if text first equals text second, then I want to put out the message same. Otherwise, I want to put out the message different. Okay, so I'm just saying, if they're the same, then I want to put out the word same. If they're different, I want to put out the word different. Okay. Now notice the structure of an if here. In JavaScript, I write an if with the curly braces. And the curly braces tell me what to do if it's true and what to do if it's false. The alternate way that languages do it is to write the word if, write the word else, write the word and if. So some languages use the curly braces, some use words. Okay, and whatever language you're in, it has a way of doing it. So I have here the if, anything I want to do if it's true, and I can have 10 different commands in here. Anything I want to do if it's true comes before the else. Then I have an else, and everything I want to do if it's not true comes between the else, after the else. And then the end if tells me that it's all done. So I could have code after the end if that I just want to do all the time. Or I can have code before the if statement that I want to do all the time. Okay? So the end if terminates it. So it's like the end of the curly braces in JavaScript. Okay? So that's an alternative. You don't have to have an else any more than you had to in JavaScript. You can just have an if end if. And say, if it's true, do this. If it's not, I have nothing I want to do. So you can just have an if end if without an else, if there's nothing you want to do if it's false. Okay. Questions?
Do we have to set up the private sublines?
It does that for you, and that's the one you can't touch.
That's the one you can't touch.
So if I go over here to design, and I put a button on there, so I need to bring up the toolbox and find button, and I put a button over here. So there's my button, and it's called button one. Okay, and I haven't changed anything, it's called button one. If I now double click on button one, it generates the code. And so there's the code for clicking on button one. And it has generated all of that code. Then I can go in and put in the calculation and do something that I want to do. So I could say, for example, let's see. Now, let me do that later after I've covered a few other things. But to answer your question, yes, I can put a button in there.
Okay.
And again, don't touch the stuff in the button.
Okay, put anything you want in between. Leave the button alone. Okay, so now I've got, and again, to anchor and unanchor the toolbox, it's this little pin. And I lay the pin on its side, and the toolbox is now out of the view and is over here. I click on the toolbox and it comes up. Yeah.
Mine disappeared from the left hand side altogether.
I was just looking, Eric, you want to come over and find his?
Found it.
Found it? Where was it?
I just went to view.
Okay, but it should have showed up over there. I don't like it when it disorganizes my world.
Yeah.
It should have done that. Okay. Okay, on the next one, when I'm comparing two numbers, it is safest to have them, two fields that contain numbers, rather, it's safest to make them numeric. So I set up fields, and fields are set up such that what I type in them is considered more string than anything else, or characters. If I want to do some comparisons that are having to do with numbers, it is better to convert them to numbers. So I'm comparing two like things, numbers to numbers. Okay? So I put that conversion in there, and I'm converting to numbers. And then I can test whether something is greater or less than or something like that with a lot more accuracy. So if I'm comparing two numbers, it is always recommended that I convert them to numbers so that I'm comparing number to number. Because if you remember about access, the way that numbers are stored is up against the right left. This is my right. They're pushed up against the right side, and string characters are pushed up against the left. And so they store things differently. And so it's better to convert them to number so that it knows that it's dealing with a number. Okay? As opposed to leaving them as character. So I converted them. And now I'm saying if C-I-N-T is great, of text first, is greater than the text second, then I will put out first is greater than second. Otherwise, I ask if it's less, then I'll put out first is less than second. Otherwise, they have to be equal, because there's only three possibilities, right? Greater than, less than, and equal to. So they have to be equal. Okay? So, okay, so if I come back here and I run this, and we'll try a bunch of different numbers, and you try a bunch of, I actually want to take that 5 away. So before I do anything, I want to come over to the text box of that and take the 5 out. Okay, so now I'm going to run it. And I'm going to put in 3 and 3 and click on question 2, and it says first is equal to second. Okay. Then I'm going to put 3 and 5 and click on question 2, and it says first is less than second. Okay. Then I'm going to put 10 and 5. And it says that first is greater than second. Okay, so that is working just fine. And then I am going to put 05 and click on question 2. And it still says first is greater than second. So all of the different combinations work in that. Okay. If I take this, and what I'm going to do is take that code, and I'm going to copy it. And since I've already made a button 1, I'm going to stick it right into button 1. And I'm going to take out the C integer and see if I can develop a problem. Okay, so now I'm going to run this. And I'm going to put 5 and 7 in there and click on button 1, and it tells me the first is less than second. Okay, then I'm going to put 50 and 7 and click, and it says first is less than second. Okay, is that true? Okay. It's coming back and saying first is less than second. Okay, and why it's saying that is it's got the string data and it's comparing the 5 to the 7, and the 5 is less. And so it is therefore saying the first is less. When I put those two numbers in and I clicked on question 2, I got first is greater than second. So when I converted to integer, it worked just fine. When I did not convert to integer, it did not work just fine. Okay? So when I did not convert to integer, it didn't work. Okay? So if you're comparing two numbers, the way you want to do it is convert them to integer or convert them to decimal or whatever. Val can also be used to make sure that you are comparing number to number. Okay, so you want to make sure you're comparing number to number. Questions? Okay. The next one is I'm defining a variable. Okay? So I am saying define a variable. And the way I define a variable, and how did you do it in JavaScript?
Var.
Here you use dim. So I said dim, and in Visual Basic, you have to tell it what kind of number it is. So I said dim work answer as an integer. But I need to tell it what kind of number it is. Okay? And I can also dim it as a decimal. Or dim it as double, which is another way of doing decimal. So I have to dim it, and I have to tell the type. So again, there's a variety of languages. In JavaScript, you don't have to tell the type at all. In Visual Basic, they want you, when you define a variable, to tell the type that it is. Okay, so I told it that it was integer. And, okay, notice I'm in run mode still. And see the little lines up there at the top that tell me I'm in run mode? If I click that kind of reddish-brownish rectangle, it ends the run mode. Okay, and so I'm out of run mode now. So I went in there and said dim work answer is an integer. And if I want to dim another variable, I can say dim whatever I can't spell. Dim. Notice the nice little lines that it writes for you to tell you whenever it's got a problem. As, and now I get to pick how I want to do. So I've got integer. If I go down a little bit farther, I've got decimal, so I can click a decimal number. If I go down a little bit farther, I have double, which is another way of saying decimal. So they give you this help. If I say dim whatever as, they open up all of the possibilities that I can put there. Okay, some of them, I have not a clue what they do. Okay, you kind of learn what you need to know. But there are a couple of hundred of them sitting there probably. That's probably an exaggeration, but there's an awful lot of them sitting there. And I can pick decimal, I can pick double, I can pick... text, and say I want to define it as a text field. So I can print, I can choose a bunch of things there, and I can say I want to define that as a decimal. Okay? Or dim another as a double. Now, the reason those are underlined, and this is a change to this later versions of VB, the reason those are underlined as green is it's telling me I haven't used them. So it's basically saying, why are you defining a variable if you're not going to use it? That's not one of my favorite changes, because it makes you stop and think you've done something wrong. But in fact, it's just yelling at you because you haven't used it. So if I were to come down here, whoops. And I would say, let's say text answer.text equals another. Okay. Now I have used it, and it stopped having it with the green underlining, because I've done something with it. So it's basically just telling you, if you define a lot of variables up there, and then you do nothing with them, we're going to let you know that you're not using that variable and ask you to double check whether you need it or not. You can still run the program. Okay, so it's not a problem running the program. You can still run the program just fine. Okay. But it gives you those errors, those notes, warnings. I guess they're warnings. That's the best way to describe them. Okay, so I'm going to take those out, but I can put those in. So if I want to use it in the subroutine, I define it here. Okay, so if I need a variable, and I need it for this subroutine only, I can define it right there in the subroutine. If I need a variable to be defined, I come up here at the top, right under public class. And I define a variable that can be used anywhere. So if I want to use a variable in multiple subroutines or multiple modules, I define it right up here. And then it's available to every subroutine that I write. It's public. It's global. It's called global lots of times. If I define the variable in the subroutine, it is only available within that subroutine. The other subroutines don't even know about it. Okay, they don't know it exists. Okay. So down here, I have defined work answer. If I then came up here and said text answer, A-N-S-W-E-R, dot text equals, what did I call it, work answer? Okay, it's giving me a red thing there and telling me that it doesn't exist. Okay, it doesn't know what work answer is. So it's not giving me the green squiggly, which is more of a warning. It's giving me a red squiggly that says, what's going on here? Okay, because work answer was defined down in the bottom. And I managed to get it, yes. So it was defined down there. Okay. If I come up here and say dim my answer as integer, okay, so I've dimmed it and I came down here and changed this to my answer, it's more than happy. Okay, because that was defined globally. This was a global. Okay, and so therefore I can use it anywhere that I want to use it. Okay. So for your purposes, the safe way is to define everything as global. And then you can have it wherever you want it. I'm not saying that I would recommend that once you get into more advanced stuff. But for starting out, that's the safe and easy way of doing it, is to find things as global if you want to use them multiple places. Because there's other techniques that are easier to work with, but not in the scope of where we're going. And let's look at Visual Basic for a couple of weeks. Okay, not in that scope. Questions? Okay. So I have now totally messed up this program. And if you've been playing along with me too, you've messed it up as well. I'm not sure I took a picture of that. Okay, so now I've got button one that I put up, and I'm going to take this stuff out of button one because I've finished experimenting. And I'd like you to make a button one, and we can do a test so you can play around with if statements. So if I want to say if... or let's calculate work answer. So I'm going to say dim work answer as integer. And then I'm going to say work answer equals text first dot text minus text second dot text. Okay. And then I'm going to say if work answer, what did I do? I took away the dot text. If work answer is greater than 100, then text answer dot text equals okay. put the then in the wrong place. Okay, so this kind of summarizes what I did and try playing around with this. I said dim work answer as an integer. And then I said, okay, now work answer is going to equal M subtracting tech second from tech first. And then I said, okay, if it's greater than 100, then I want to put okay in answer. So if I then run this, and I put 500, and I put 200, and I click on button 1, it's saying okay. So try putting this in, now put in an else. Add an else to this. Okay. And play around with it for a few minutes. Okay. So now I've got an else. If I want to put an else in here, I can say, okay, change is not allowed while code is running. That means I didn't end it, so I need to end it up there. So then I can put an else in here and say, what have I done? Text answer.text equals check. What have I done?
End if.
No, I've got an end if.
Oh, okay. Line
57? Yeah, I took out the quote. Thank you. Good debugger. That's why we like you. Okay, so there I've now put in the else. And notice how the will lit up in red when I made the mistake of somehow I got rid of that closed quote when I went in to add it in. And the world lit up in red. Okay. Then I can also put in here, and let's say text answer dot text is greater than 10 or 100. Okay. So I can put an and in, and I write the word and when I put in an and. And if I want to write the word, if I want to put in an or, I write the word or. Okay, so I can have if look answer is greater than 100, and text answer dot text is greater than 100, then it's okay. So both of those have to be true. Okay? So again, if I run this, and I'm going to make that again 500 and 200, and I'm clicking on button 1. And I got an error. Okay. Notice how it comes up and tells me an error. I'm going to go back and get out of run mode. And it didn't want me doing that, so I'm going to do convert to an integer. And compare to 100. And I'm saying start. And I've got 500 and 200, and I'm clicking on button 1, and it's still giving me an exception. Okay, Eric, see what I did? Anybody see what I did? An unhandled exception of type system invalid occurred. Additional information, conversion from string to type integer is not valid. Certainly is. That's interesting. Do you see what that is? I don't see it at all. Anybody got any brilliant ideas?
I think if you remove the convert integer, it'll work.
Pardon me?
I think if you remove the convert integer, it'll work.
Do what?
Remove the convert integer.
I had that originally, and it gave me the problem. Okay. That's the second time that has happened. And I'll tell you what I just experimented with, and I'm not happy. No, it still didn't like it. Okay. Oh, I didn't have anything in text answer. I shouldn't have used text answer. Okay, I see what I did now. Dumb. And that's what I get for trying to throw something in that doesn't work. This should have been not a text answer because I didn't have anything in text answer yet. So if I'd said text first, it would work. But I hadn't put anything in text answer yet, and so I was comparing to text answer. And I didn't catch that originally. And now she hopes that she'll get it right this time. Yes. Okay, so the problem was, and that's what I get, as I said, for adding stuff in when I don't. If I had done an add or a subtract or a multiply so there was something in text answer, I would have been all right. But I'm kind of using text answer for math, and I'm using text answer for messages, and I'm just kind of throwing things in as I'm showing them to you, and that's not a good plan. But you at least saw that what happens, it tells you where the problem is, it highlights it, it tells you, and it makes it easier to eventually find. So, here,
as long as I had a number in text first, it worked fine. But text answer was empty, and it can't convert empty to an integer. Okay? And it also can't compare empty. So basically, I had to have a field that actually had some data in it. And I messed up. I put in text answer, and I hadn't calculated text answer. Okay? But watching me debug is a good thing, too, or watching me attempt to debug. Okay. If work answer is greater than 100, I can also have nested ifs. So instead of having an and here, I can have nested ifs just like I can in JavaScript. So what would I do that? If I want to have an if within an if instead of using the and. Okay, so I want to have an if down here instead of using the and I want to get rid of the and up there. And so now I have got two if statements. Okay, notice it's yelling at me. Why do you think it's yelling now? That's right. I've got two ifs, but I don't have any other end if. So if I put in another end if, okay, it will now sort this out. So now I don't have an else for the outer if, for the first if, but that's okay. I never am required to have an else. Okay? So I'm saying here, if work answer is greater than 100, then check and see if this is greater than 100. If it is, write okay. Else, write that I need to check. Okay. So if it's not, if text first is not greater than 100, I'm saying check. If work answer isn't greater than 100, I'm doing nothing. So go ahead and try putting in an else here that would check if answer isn't greater than 100. And what I want to do is put check into text answer again. Okay, so we're going to try. Go ahead and throw in an else. Where do you think the else is going to go? Somebody make a guess. Where's the else going to go?
After the check.
After the check, after, actually, after what? After the end if. Because think about it in JavaScript with the curly braces. That ends that if, right? So that end if is over. Now if I want to put an else in, I have to put the else right there. Okay. So I'm going to put the else in there because I have an if, else, end if. Okay. So I'm going to come over here and I'm going to throw in an else. And then I want to do the same problem, the same thing. So I'm going to put that in. Notice, number one, how it nicely aligns for you. In JavaScript, you had to do that. Here, it does it for you. So I can easily see that these three go together and these go together because they're lined up underneath each other. Okay? So it helps you out in that way, too, in that it embeds the stuff. Okay. So, if I run this,
and I put in 120 here and 100 here, and I click on button, I get check. Okay? So which one did I get? Which of the checks did I get? The first one or the second one? Well, let's look at it and see. Because I'm starting out here, and I'm saying work answer equals 120 minus 100. So work answer is 20, right? So now I'm saying if work answer is greater than 100, is it? No. So where is it going to go? It's going to go down like that and pick up that else, and you're right, it's the second one. Okay, because it did the calculation, subtracted 120, it took 120 and subtracted 100, and that left 20. And then I said, okay, now if work answer is greater than 100, it's not. So I dropped right out. What about if I had put in here, I really can, let's see. No, I'm pretty much stuck. Those were not terribly great choices of my questions. Okay, so that's how you structure an if-else. And when you do it, hopefully you do it a little more carefully than I did. Okay? When you stand, think about what you're testing. But that basically is how you can do ifs. Oh, I guess I'll save them, whatever. Okay, the next ones that I have over here are loops. Okay? And remember the three